As we hear God's word this morning, I'd like to invite the children up to help me out with our message, to introduce our message for today. So we got some children coming here. Okay, great. Let the little children come to me, Jesus said, and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. Well, I have something coming down the aisle here, and when it gets down here, I want you to tell me what it is, what that is. Anybody knows what that is? A wheelbarrow. Okay. And do you know how to operate a wheelbarrow? Put them in what?
Mud.
Mud? Well, this might have been in the mud. Yeah, this is Grandpa Larry's wheelbarrow, so who knows where it's been?
It would have been in the farm.
On a farm. Use it on a farm. Okay. Does anybody know how to operate one of these? Do you plug it in? No. Does anybody want to get in this and have... Oh, boy. Are you sure, Piper? Okay, we're going to do it this way. Okay, so you want to get in it? Ready? Let's see if we can do this. All right, so now, what do we do? How do we operate it? Tell me what we do. What's next?
You lift it.
You lift it? Okay, so like this? Like this, you lift it this way? Oh, what happens if I just lift that handle? I'm lifting one handle if you don't see it. What happens if I lift that handle? You're going to dump Piper out. Okay, oh, I know. I got to do it with this hand, right? Do I do it this hand? All right, Piper, you're doing great. You're doing great. What happens if I just lift it with this hand? You're going to dump her. Okay, so what do I have to do? Oh, use both hands. Oh, how about that? Oh, look at that. It works. Both hands. Look at that. Wow. There we go. Okay, good. Piper, you're doing a great job here. Was that scary? No, she says. No, it wasn't scary at all. Okay, you can get out. There we go. Okay, so you have to use both hands. There's a very important lesson we need to learn here, because the Bible tells us two important truths. The Bible tells us two important things we should know. One, it tells us that we are to fear God. Fear God. Does that mean we're just supposed to be afraid of God?
No.
Okay, it means that we are supposed to honor and reverence God, to honor, respect Him so much that we don't want to offend Him. We don't want to make Him sad by doing the wrong things. We know that God is our judge, and that one day we must stand before Him as our judge. And we've all sinned, right? We've all done things wrong. And that should give us a reverent fear of God. But there's one other handle on the wheelbarrow. We're not just supposed to fear God, we're supposed to what? What's another thing we do towards God?
Love.
Ah, say it again.
Love Him.
Love Him, because the Bible tells us that we have not kept God's law, and so we deserve His punishment. But instead of giving us His punishment, He sent Jesus to take our punishment on the cross and demonstrate His love for us. And so we are to do two things towards God. We're to fear Him, knowing that we stand condemned before Him because of our sins. But we're also to love Him because we know that He died for our sins and gives us eternal life. And the fear or respect and awe of God, so that we want to do what is right, but also the love of God, which through Jesus Christ fills our hearts so that we can do what is right in love for Him, not just in fear, but love. So two handles, right? So we have to have two handles, fear and love. Well, let's pray and ask God to teach us to fear and to love Him. Heavenly Father, may we fear and love You so much that You have first place in our lives, always. Thank You for what Jesus did to come to demonstrate Your love for us, that our fear is no longer a fear of the judgment, but, Lord, a deep respect and awe of You. And, Lord, that because You loved us, we can love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats as we continue with our worship. Jesus said, to continue to hear God's word, Jesus said, when He was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" He said, "You are to love the Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind." And so this morning we're going to talk about the law of love. But there's a condition on that law of love given to us in Scripture, and we're going to hear that today. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Begin with verse 1. We looked at that last week. We're going to go over it again this week. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack. Turn to page 118 as we look again at the meaning for our lives of the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God as given to us in Exodus chapter 20. The law of love. And God spoke these words, saying, Exodus 20, verse 1, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself the carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on to the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now drop down to verse 18. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled and stood far off. And verse 20 says, and Moses said to the people, do not fear. Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, so that you may not sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you reveal these important truths of Scripture to us, that we are to fear you above all things, that we are to love you above all things, and how those two fit together like the handles on a wheelbarrow. And Lord, how we can walk in your ways this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I read the first half of the Ten Commandments, which is the first table of the law. Remember, the Scripture tells us that God gave them two tablets of stone. And so representing that first portion of the law is the commandments which refer to our love for God. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second part of the table of the commandments is loving our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus said, those summarize all the commandments. Now, last week we talked about how to keep the commandments. The first of all, that it requires a relationship to God. It says, I am the Lord your God. God gave these commandments to those whom he had already drawn into a relationship. In the same way, through Jesus Christ, we have this relationship to God, and the commandments cannot be kept properly for their proper purpose without that relationship. Secondly, last week we learned that it says in verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And the Ten Commandments were given to those whom God had already set free. And now to maintain that freedom and a proper relationship with him. In the same way, Jesus Christ has set us free. He has set us free from sin, death, and the devil. And it tells us in Scripture, as we heard last week, that we should not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So in the same way, the Ten Commandments are given to us as Christians, as believers in Christ, in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and through having been set free from sin through what Jesus Christ has done. And third, we talked about last week how the Ten Commandments are meant to be lived out in love. They are commandments of love. And we hear in verse 6 that God shows steadfast love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. And so that's kind of the background here. But we want to look today at the purpose of God's law. And in the small catechism, Martin Luther explains the meaning of the first commandment by saying, we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. And again, in the explanation to each commandment, he begins by saying, we are to fear and love God so that. And the reason I begin there is because I think Martin Luther rivets our attention on two of the most important truths of Scripture, that we are to fear God and we are to love God. And like a wheelbarrow that I used in the children's message as an illustration that's sitting right here before us, we need to grab both those handles. And we try to do just one and just have our relationship to God as one as fear, we're never going to get anywhere. And if it's just loving God without a proper fear of Him, then that won't work either. And so we are to fear and love God so that, and then each commandment tells us what we are to do and what we are not to do. The law itself is the teaching of the Bible, teaching us how we are to be and what we are to do and not to do. But God never intended that the law would save us, that we cannot be saved by keeping of the law, even to the very best of our ability. That's not the purpose of the law. In Romans 3:20, it says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Well, if God gives us the law, and we can't be saved through the law, so what's its purpose? How come God gives us something we can't keep? Well, first of all, we find the purpose of the law is to show us the holiness of God, that He is perfect. And He gives us His perfect law to show us that He is pure and holy and other and lifted up. The law, as we are given it in the Ten Commandments, reveals God's perfect holiness. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah was given this vision of the Lord, of God, high and seated on a throne. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, and this is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple, and above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. And they were calling out to one another. As they flew, they called out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And in the language of the Hebrew people, we have a superlative, you know, that something's good, better, and best. In this case, if you just have to add the word again, and if something is perfect, it's holy, holy. But in this case, it's beyond perfection. It's holy, holy, holy. And so we get a proper view of God, and that gives us a proper fear of God. And remember, there were two words for fear used in Exodus 20. He says, don't be afraid. Don't just be trembling at the sight and the awesomeness of God. But have a proper fear of God so that you will not sin. That you'll realize that we are accountable to this holy and perfect God. We are accountable to Him, and there's a proper fear of God. But that fear of God will lead us then to an acknowledgement of our sin. And so Isaiah, when he saw the perfect holiness of God, he said, woe, woe to me. He cried, I am undone. I'm ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When we truly understand who God is, we can't help but to feel like our lives are undone because we are sinners in his sight. I like to think of it, you know, sometimes I grab a shirt out of my closet in the dim light of my wardrobe, you know, it looks perfectly clean. And I get it on and I step out into the bright sun and all of a sudden I realize, oh, I have some spots on that. I spilled something on that. It's not clean. And we can look at our lives and think, oh yeah, I'm pretty good. And most people think they're pretty good. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of goodness in us. Goodness comes from God because God, we reflect God's goodness in our lives. But really, in God's sight, when we get into the harsh light of his holiness, we see our sin for what it really is. We are rebellious sinners, all of us, rebellious. It's not just we've made a few mistakes, or as the apologies go these days, mistakes were made, right? Oh, yes. You know, nobody's perfect, and I did some imperfect things. And our apologies tend to be non-apologies. But in the light of God, it's like, I am ruined. I'm done. I'm condemned. And the law of God shows us his holiness, and we stand condemned in his presence. But that's not where it ends. And it says, it goes on to say, and then one of the seraphs, one of these awesome beings that circles the throne of God, crying out, holy, 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 one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, a flaming ember, and which he had taken with tongs from the altar. This thing's glowing red hot, and he doesn't even touch it. This angel doesn't even touch it, and seraph literally means a fiery one. And even the fiery one doesn't want to touch this thing. And he takes his tongs and he touches his lips. Ow! I don't know. You know, he doesn't say that. But the angel says this. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Our sin was taken away. Our guilt was atoned for through Jesus Christ. It's just a picture, a little tiny glimpse of what the red-hot love of God is able to sear away, cleanse away all sin from our lives. And that was demonstrated through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. We were never meant to be justified by the law. No one is able to stand before God and say, I did it! I did it! Got a 10! Nailed it! You can't, no, nobody will ever get that perfect 10. You know, if we got a 1.5, maybe. No. We all stand condemned. That's the fear of God. To realize in his sight we stand condemned. But added to the fear of God is the love of God. That God has cleansed us of our sin. He's led us to Jesus Christ who died for our sins, demonstrated God's love. And we can love because God first loved us. And so when Jesus said, love the Lord your God, he is saying that in the context of God who has come to love us first. We love because God first loved us. Jesus would demonstrate the full love of God. And so these two pictures, the holiness of God and the love of God, come to us in the commandments. And so it was Martin Luther who emphasized both of those, drawing these two major themes from Scripture, bringing them together. And incidentally, the fear of God is not only in the Old Testament, it is in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We're all going to be accountable to God. But it goes on to say, and so he says in the next verse, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade people because we ought to have a healthy fear of God, that we will all stand before his judgment seat. But then he goes on in verse 14, he says, for the love of God, for the love of Christ compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We no longer live for ourselves because the love of Christ. We know the fear of God, but it's the love of Christ that compels us. And in 2 Corinthians 7:1, it says, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And so this concept of the fear of God is all the way through Scripture, Old and New Testament. We are to have such a holy respect and holy desire that we would desire God's goodness and his holiness to keep us from sin. But we know this, that when we do sin, and we will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who died for our sins, and not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Peter says, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, then conduct yourselves with fear, reverent fear, throughout this time of your exile on this earth, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, the blood of Christ. There's the fear and love. The fear that we stand before a holy God, but the love knowing that he has already sacrificed his son, sacrificed himself for us, and has shown us his love. Yes, we have the fear of God, but we receive the mercy of God. And those together, we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. To fear God above all things is that we honor him, reverence him so much that we don't want to do anything to offend him in anything we think, say, or do. We love God because he is so dear to us that in everything that he would be given first place in everything in our lives, and those things together help us to take the commandments and to apply them in our lives in the right way. The commandments are good, Paul says, as long as we use them rightly. I like to think of climbing mountains. Of course, you all knew that, right? I didn't get to the top of any mountains in my adventures on my vacation, but we did get up and enjoy them. Heard a story just yesterday of a good friend of somebody that I talked to yesterday. He says, yeah, I have a good friend who died on that mountain, Mount Hood in Oregon. It's not necessarily a dangerous mountain, but it can be. The fact is that climbing is a dangerous thing. I have a love for the mountains, but I also have the healthy fear. It's a dangerous place. You don't go up there and just nonchalantly take it for granted. We don't take God for granted, but I have this compelling love for the mountains. Not even close to the compelling love that I have for Jesus Christ, for what he has done for me. The mountains don't even come close to the majesty and glory and awesomeness of God. But it's not like God's safe. God is our judge. We ought to fear God. But God has come and died for us so we can love God. Fear and love God. We are to fear and love God so much that we'll give him our deepest respect and lovingly want to give him our obedience. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we hear the law, but Lord, the law by itself can only condemn us. It was the purpose of the law to see your holiness and your awesomeness, but to lead us to Jesus Christ. Thank you that in Jesus Christ you died for us. Thank you that we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thank you that in him you have fulfilled the law in our place, and then you're working through your Spirit to work out that good things in our lives. Father, we must fear and love you above everything else. Would you help us in that? Father, would you fill us with that awesome respect and a passionate love for you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.